They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Shu Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Shu Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, today we're going to be talking about something that I think is extremely important, and that's fair housing. And to lead us through some of these discussions today, I have an old friend with us, David Russell, who's a manager out in Arizona, and he is a manager, but he gets so upset when he sees and hears some of the stories and some of the discriminatory behavior on the part of HOAs. And as a manager, I think he has some very strong ideas of what he could do or what he should do or what other HOAs should do to prevent some of the circus that surrounds them every time they decide they're going to come down and say no. David, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Nice to be back.
All right, David, tell us. There's been a lot going on in fair housing and fair housing stories, and I think the world, little Ella Schultz kind of tugged at the world's heartstrings recently. You want to tell us about Ella and what happened there?
Sure. Little Ella wanted a playhouse. She's a very sick little girl who's battling cancer. And the story surrounding this little playhouse not only grabbed national attention, it grabbed worldwide attention. The way that situation was handled was incorrect. You have a board president going on camera and going, well, it's against our covenants. That's why we can't let, because if, my goodness, if this poor little sick girl has a playhouse, then everybody in the neighborhood will want a playhouse. Well, of course, she didn't look very well on camera, and of course, this story just went global. And, you know, the whole situation was handled incorrectly. I mean, we have a sick little girl, very sick little girl, and this could have been handled much differently. The problem, Shu, is these boards, again, lack the training that they need to handle these situations properly.
David, I'm going to jump in here. What mm-hmm. training do you need to look at a six-year-old who's got leukemia and looks like death warmed over and Make-A-Wish Foundation decides they're going to grant her a wish? What training do you need to have a heart?
Well,
what training do you need?
Right. Unfortunately, there's no training to become a human being, and no training to have a heart. But, you know, I do believe that if a lot of these HOAs actually do what our HOA does, and they learn those basics of fair housing, that a lot of this, they have free classes. Almost every single state has classes that will educate for absolutely free, that will teach you at least the basics of fair housing. So this is the way that it probably should have been handled. They informed the HOA that they wanted to build this playhouse. That's always the first thing that homeowners need to do. They need to go to their boards and their associations, and this was done correctly on the homeowner's part. Hey, our sick little daughter you know, needs this playhouse. It's almost therapeutic for her. You know, she's going through a rough time psychologically. You know, you have a little six-year-old girl who's battling cancer and could die. I mean, they did that absolutely right. What the HOA should have done, instead of worrying about these covenants that the board president, Stacy Barker, talked about, was to say, you know what, board, let's get together on this. This isn't rocket science here. We have a sick child, and under fair housing, you know, I understand that, you know, we have covenants, and I understand that we have rules, and we don't want everybody else to have a playhouse in the neighborhood, you know, because it'll, of course, detract from our property values, whatever. So let's make this a reasonable accommodation for somebody with a disability. This will preempt, you know, just anybody who wants to build a big structure in their yard or wants to build a playground in their yard or whatever. So let's get together with these parents and let's get together as a board in a community. First of all, we need to support this little girl because she's sick. Okay, that's the right and human thing to do. The second thing is, you know, this is a reasonable accommodation. We can go back to another case with a little boy a few years back that he has cerebral palsy, and his parents wanted a little playhouse for him, except this was a therapy playhouse. And this taught him how to walk up and down stairs, and it was really good physical therapy for him. Well, again, the same thing. The board made the wrong mistake. They didn't say, hey, let's get together. Let's call this a reasonable, let's call it what it is. It's a reasonable accommodation for somebody with a disability, and they're protected under fair housing. They didn't do it in either case. That case with the little boy, Cooper, is, of course, now their HOA is facing a lawsuit. So, you know, I kind of get that homeowners associations need to follow that God Almighty set of covenants they have. But at the same time, I think that they're forgetting that, you know, a lot of these kids are protected under fair housing. They just don't have the training. They've never taken the time to explore the laws. They don't get advice from their attorneys on fair housing, and what happens? They show up on the 10 o'clock news.
You know, I'm not an attorney, but every set of governing documents that I've seen, it says, it lays out the covenants, and mm-hmm. the covenants are restrictions. They're property rights that you don't have, homeowners, in case you're wondering what it is. But the thing is, every set of governing documents I've seen has told the board that they may enforce the covenants. There's no they shall. They may enforce the governments, the covenants. Now, what happens typically is an attorney will come in representing the HOA, will train these board members, and will convince the board members that if they don't enforce everything to the letter, that they could be held personally liable. First of all, that's bunk. That's absolute and utter nonsense. Don't fall for it. Because the only person who's going to gain out of that is the attorney.
Absolutely.
And there is a hold harmless clause in just about every single set of governing documents, because it holds the board members harmless if they're doing their jobs. So if you may enforce it, and if there's a reason to enforce it, then you're okay. Go for it. But when you're going to go after kids or elderly people or handicapped people, you better watch out, because nobody is going to be on your side. Nobody is going to have any sympathy for you.
You're right. Absolutely nobody is going to have any sympathy for you. And, you know, I've been a just long time saying we need federal laws to protect our homeowners. But what a lot of folks don't realize is there is some federal laws that protect homeowners. And fair housing is one of those laws. You know, the Fair Housing Act, you know, says that you cannot discriminate against a person's race, their color, their sex, their national origin, their family status. And I think a lot of homeowners don't realize that there are some protections for them, and I think it's recently coming to light with a couple of court decisions and a couple of big settlements. I mean, we could take the case out in Minnetonka, Minnesota, where the HOA there had a ban from the children playing on the grass. You know, I mean, this is kind of ridiculous. We put these poor kids in these condominiums, in these townhomes, where the developers, who I blame a lot for, they never take into consideration that families are going to be moving into these. They don't build any proper play areas that are in a safe location. Now, in this Minnetonka condominium complex, they did have a playground. Of course, the developer saw fit to build it across to busy road where the children would have to go across, so making it kind of a hazard for them. So it's discriminatory to say that children can't play on their own property. I mean, this is their front yard. This is their backyard. And apparently the United States Department of Justice, they saw fit to take it to the mat and hold this homeowners association accountable. And of course, who pays for this lawsuit? Who pays for these settlements? You know, again, the homeowners do. So there's a lot of, I've gone through a lot of rules and regulations for a lot of associations, and I've looked in there, and you could just read the discriminatory rules and regulations regarding children. It's just, I read them and I just sit there and cringe.
Yeah, I mean, kids, little kids, three-year-olds are not allowed to use sidewalk chalk because it's going to devalue property values.
There was a
story, and you wonder where this is going to lead us, because there was a story once about a little girl who decided she was going to try to raise money for, I think it was a neighborhood, something had happened to the neighbor. And she did her bit. She tried to raise money to help this neighbor in the neighborhood, and she put up a lemonade stand. The association went after her. It wasn't, she was making money for herself.
Right.
She was trying to help an elderly lady. The association did nothing to help this lady. You know, another little girl, I remember, was really worried because there was a lake and there were some ducks on one side of the street, and there was a busy street in the middle. So she made a little sign that said, "Be careful, duck crossing," to protect these ducks. I would have thought that was really adorable. But, oh, no, it's going to devalue property. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, how stupid can you be? How stupid can you be?
We're talking HOAs and a lot of untrained people and a lot of people with their own personal agendas. And I think we're going to be seeing a magnitude of these fair housing lawsuits in the future. And, of course, you know, again, who pays for all the stupidity of these boards and these associations and these untrained property managers? The homeowners pay for it. You know, the homeowners file a fair housing claim. The property manager should turn this in as a claim to the insurance company. I mean, this could potentially be a lawsuit. So you're talking about increases in insurance. You're talking about settlements that, you know, the money's going to have to come from somewhere. And, you know, a lot of insurance carriers, if, you know, this wasn't just, oops, well, we goofed, you know, if this was intentional and malicious, a lot of these insurance companies won't pay those claims.
Sometimes, in some instances, I've heard of homeowners contacting the insurance company and saying, we've been telling the board not to do this, but they insist on doing it. And the insurance companies have gone to the boards and said, all right, guys, we are going to stop insuring you if you don't stop. They remove board members because they will not insure certain board members. Now, with CAI taking in all of these insurance companies and making them all part of the family, and then you can see where you've got the same people owning just about everything, banks and insurance companies and lending companies and all of that. Somehow, I don't know if that's still the case, but insurance companies at one point would not insure bad boards.
Well, you know, and that is probably a good thing. But the thing is there's a multitude of insurance companies. Somebody's going to insure them. But that is going to come at a cost. And you're going to see the homeowners, you know, pay higher rates and premiums. I mean, all of these recent settlements, like in Minnetonka, I mean, these were probably paid out by the insurance companies. When you have a claim, you know, there's a what they call a loss run, and every insurance company for the next 5 or 10 years is going to see that you had this claim on your insurance, and of course they take advantage of that. They're going to charge you, and the association, which are the members, the homeowners, are going to have to pay for those increased rates.
Hey, David, I thought you said that HOAs protect property values, didn't you?
You bet. Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I can just, yeah, right.
And, you know, how much bad advice are attorneys giving? You know, if you let one homeowner get away with it,
Oh, yeah. You
know, all the rest of them will. I have heard that from several HOA attorneys.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, they almost egg them on and encourage them. They almost initiate lawsuits. And, of course, who wins in that? Well, of course, the attorneys do. I mean, the defense fees to fight a fair housing claim can be quite high. These lawyers don't work for free, as we all know.
I've heard a lot of attorneys say, whatever you do, try to avoid a fair housing claim.
Exactly. They're very costly. And, you know, they're shameful. I mean, you get on the 10 o'clock news, and, you know, the whole world, like the case with Ella, you know, I'm sure the property values there plummeted overnight. I mean, who wants to live in a community where they basically discriminate against a dying child? I mean, that's not a place I would want to live. And, you know, the reputation of your HOA goes down the tube. I mean, somebody is looking to buy in there, and they Google that homeowners association's name, and here you have all these horrific stories. So the board did not do their community and did not protect their values of their homes by their stupidity.
So how do you handle a stupid board? I mean, you're a manager, and you have to deal with board members, and some of them are megalomaniacs, and some of them are just plain stupid. I mean, let's face it. And some of them are reasonable. I mean, how do you educate the knuckleheads?
Well, you know, that's the thing. Who educates the boards? Well, exactly. And unfortunately, though, sometimes that education comes from those attorneys, those CAI attorneys, who, you know, are looking to find the golden egg. But, you know, property owners and managers, you know, they have a responsibility and a requirement under the law not to discriminate against, you know, even tenants that live in these homeowners associations. Do they do it? They do it all the time. So, you know, if one thing I can get through to board members and one thing I can get through to property managers and property management companies is they have to make sure that they're trained in fair housing. Every single one of my employees that work here, from the maintenance people to the guy who cleans the pool to the guy who picks up the garbage, has a certificate. They go down yearly, and they take a course in the basics of fair housing. And about 99.9% of the time, that'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. And then I think the property managers, they have to start educating the board. And I'll tell you a little story. And this is a story about a dog. And we've heard about Wilbur the potbelly pig recently, a therapy pet. Well, we had a situation in our HOA where we had an owner who acquired a pit bull puppy. I informed the gentleman that, you know, we have a restriction on pets, one pet, 20 pounds, and, you know, in no time flat, this pit bull is going to grow into a huge dog, and it's going to violate the CCNRs. Well, he wanted to argue that fact. So he got rid of the dog. He brought the dog back. He got rid of the dog. The dog jumped on a kid and scratched a kid. What do you do with a chucklehead like that just doesn't get it? So we ended up unfortunately, taking this homeowner to court, and a Superior Court judge said, look, the dog is too large. Excuse me, you knew the rules and the regulations before you acquired the property that you can't have a big dog. So the court ordered him to get rid of the dog. He got rid of the dog. About 2 months later, I get a request on my desk saying that the dog is now, they're requesting that the dog stay as a reasonable accommodation for a disability. Now, there was no mention at all before that this dog had anything to do with a disability or was any way, shape, or form connected with a disability in court. So what do you do there? Now, is that a homeowner maybe trying to skirt the law? It's possible. So I had to go to my board and I had to explain to him, look, I have documentation from a physician asking that this dog be allowed to stay on the property as a reasonable accommodation. Head spun, eyes rolled, tempers flared, and they're going, you've got to be kidding. Well, a judge has already ordered this dog off the property.
Yeah.
How are we going to take care of this situation, right? And they're going, no, absolutely not. That dog's gone. And I said, whoa, wait a minute with the dog thing for a minute. Wait a minute. Everybody put your tempers on hold for a second. I said, I have documentation saying that this animal will help alleviate a medical condition. All the proper paperwork was filled out. Fair housing and dogs, the dogs usually win. About 99.9% of the time, the dogs win. So, heated tempers and eyes rolling, and the dog stayed. You know, here's the thing. Was this guy skirting the law? Do people take advantage of fair housing to make it work for them? Sure they do. But I explained to my board, what if what they're saying, and a physician signed this. Now, physicians, they're not, they're educated people. You know, maybe he needed this dog. You know, maybe this dog did alleviate. Who am I going to be to the judge? He's the physician. I'm not the physician. And that's what I explained to my board. I said, in my opinion, they have fulfilled all of the requirements for a reasonable accommodation. And here's what happens if we decide we want to fight it. We get a fair housing complaint. We go to court. We could be found, kind of guilty that we didn't allow this reasonable accommodation, even though we have a court order before this. So who wants to get in a lawsuit? Raise their hand. I said, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to the association's attorney, and maybe we can put some stipulations on it. You have to keep the dog away from the children because the dog is scratched. You have to abide by all the other pet rules. You have to clean up after the pet. You have to have the pet leashed. You know, that's the course we took on that. You know, I'm not going to make the decision whether this guy needed this dog or didn't need this dog. That's not my decision to make. Under fair housing, him and the dog are protected. So was my board absolutely thrilled about it? Absolutely not. But, you know, it is what it is. And you have to do what you have to do. And if you have professionals saying that this dog, is a necessity and is a reasonable accommodation, can you fight them? Sure you can. What's it going to cost your homeowners association?
There was a story recently, and I don't remember all the details because I've been doing so much reading, but about a gentleman who requested a variance to keep his pet because of, for ADA and fair housing things, and the board refused to grant him that variance, and they made him get rid of the dog, and they wanted to see his medical records, which you don't have to show, guys. If you're listening in, Dave?
Yeah, you do not have to show medical records.
No, that's nobody's business. Yours and your doctor's. I mean, if your doctor says you need it, that's it. Why is nobody's business?
That's right.
But they forced him, and the poor guy ended up committing suicide. Now they've got that on their consciences, if they have a conscience.
Exactly, and, you know, that's the case with this dog. You know, I didn't, you know, we have a little form. You can get these forms from Fair Housing, and it's an inquiry form. You know, it's a basic set of questions that the physician answers and sends back. So, and with people with disabilities and dogs, here's the most important advice I can give homeowners for this. Don't go get the dog first. Even Fair Housing warns against this. Don't go get the dog first and then ask for the reasonable accommodation. Ask for the reasonable accommodation first and then get the dog.
Be prepared for a fight, eh?
Yes. Well, in some cases, yes, and in some cases, no. It just depends on you know, how stupid your board is or how smart your board of directors are and how much they want to fight it. But I tell you what, 99.9% of the time, the therapy pets, the dogs, they win. They are a reasonable accommodation for a person with a disability. And, you know, these Fair Housing violations, you can get some pretty hefty fines. You don't want to violate Fair Housing. And, you know, I hate to tell people not to listen to their attorneys all the time. But
don't listen,
you know,
to your attorney. He doesn't know what he's talking
listen.
About. Don't say that.
because they may be giving you, even though that they are trained, you know, in Fair Housing, or they should be trained in Fair Housing.
That's
you
the
know,
key word, right? Is
that's the key word. So, you know, I think you have to take these things case-by-case basis. And I think that HOAs are going to have to start realizing now that these are civil rights violations, by the way. Fair Housing, if you commit a Fair Housing violation, you've violated somebody's civil rights. That's really, really, really a bad thing to do. I mean, violating somebody's civil rights, that's why we have civil rights. So I don't think they understand the magnitude of the fines and the cost and the lawsuits and the litigation. It could bankrupt an HOA.
We're talking to David Russell. He's a manager in Arizona, one of the smarter ones and the more reasonable ones. And you're on the Commons with Shu and Dave, and we're talking about fair housing and silly laws and training and all of that wonderful stuff. So if you're just joining us, you want to listen because this is important stuff. Dave, it's been a while since I've actually read the fair housing laws.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they get changed periodically, and there are federal fair housing laws, and so everybody in the country falls under that. But you also check your state, because quite often the states will add groups that the feds don't have.
Absolutely. Fair housing, a lot of times, it's kind of an administered thing. They rely heavily upon the Attorney General's office to handle and take complaints. So they're the Attorney Generals are actually more or less the ones that investigate these things and see if there's validity. But you're right, check your state, because not everybody, you know, there's different protected classes in different states. I believe in Oregon, a protected class is also gay and lesbians, GLBT, and the gender folks. In Arizona, that's not the case. So absolutely, you have to check your states to make sure what class is protected.
I think in Virginia, and again, I haven't checked it, but I believe age in some states is also a protected class. They can't go after you because you're over a certain age or under a certain age.
Right. And in Arizona, that is not the case.
And so check if you happen to be in a state, file it at the state level, because when you do that, you may have greater protections.
Absolutely.
In that state. And I think that the feds sometimes follow on and to just add on to those. Now, there used to be, and I don't know if there still is, there used to be two ways that you could file a fair housing claim. One of them was through a federal through a government agency, whether it's a local county. We have human resources here in Fairfax County that should be doing that. There's a big story behind that one. But they used to also have federally funded private organizations that would take on these cases. And I was told when I did a whole series on fair housing a number of years ago, I was told that the best way to go is to check and see if there's a private organization in your area that will do this, because the minute you walk in there, they're on your side. They get the funding to prove or to protect your fair housing rights. If you go to a government agency like Fairfax County, they're more easily co-opted by the CAI attorneys, and I've seen that happen. They will argue that they don't have jurisdiction. They will threaten, they will bully, they will hound, and they will harass them.
Absolutely.
To drop it. So I'm not sure if they're still available, but do your research.
Well, I think the best place to start with this, Shu, is HUD.gov, HUD.gov. And anybody can go online to HUD.gov and go to Fair Housing and Equal Opportunity. And once you file a complaint with HUD on that website, that complaint gets sent to the whoever deals with that. If rather it be a private entity, most of the time it's sent to the state's attorney general's office, and they're ones that do the investigations and take over the claim, and then they report back to HUD their findings. So once they report back their findings, you know, most of these cases are U.S. cases where the U.S., you know, Department of Justice sues the homeowner. So if you do, if you feel that you've been discriminated against and that your association has violated fair housing, you know, I recommend you go to HUD.gov, and they even have a link where you can file a complaint online.
Great. That's good to know. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I did not know that, Dave. Also, I have not read the, as I said earlier, I have not read the laws recently. I don't know if anything has changed, but there was a provision in the law a number of years ago that while a complaint is being investigated, so if they decide that, yes, it sounds like you may have a reasonable complaint or a problem, and they will assign an investigator to go in and investigate it, everything stops. The association cannot do anything to you.
Right.
Until there's a resolution, until there's a decision that's been made.
Exactly. And they shouldn't. And retaliating against somebody who files a fair housing complaint can actually result in a new fair housing or an additional fair housing complaint. So if you file the fair housing complaint and your HOA is going after you, you just need to report that as another fair housing complaint, because it is against the law for them to retaliate against you for filing the complaint to begin with.
Well, I think it used to go beyond just retaliate. It's interfere, because one case that I was quite involved, not personally, but I was involved with helping the homeowners, the attorney, and this is the point that I want to make, the attorney for the association, before anything happened, decided that he had convinced Fairfax County that they did not have jurisdiction and that they had to drop the case. Now, before anything had happened, he sent a letter on behalf of the board. The board didn't know a damn thing about it. To the homeowners, informing the homeowners that the case had been dropped and they are now to comply, blah, 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 blah. So I was a little bit stunned. And
yeah.
So I followed through with that. And it turns out that because it hadn't been resolved, it hadn't been terminated, it hadn't been officially notified, he had jumped the gun. that he was in violation of the fair housing laws and could be penalized, mm-hmm. personally fined for doing that. And as an attorney, he should have known better.
He should have known better.
So guess what? We filed a complaint against the board because their name was on there, and we filed a complaint against the attorney. What happened absolutely shocked me and disgusted me, to be perfectly honest with you. They decided that they could do something about the board, who had no idea that this guy had done it on their behalf. But they do not typically go after attorneys, because if they do, he will lose his license, and if he
right.
loses his license, he can't make any more money. Excuse me, where is the problem there? Mm-hmm. If this guy is going to act like a jackbooted thug, where is the problem with protecting the homeowners?
Right.
So I thought that was pretty revolting, to be perfectly
yeah.
honest with you.
That sounds like something that should have been addressed with the Bar Ethics Committee in that state.
Well, they didn't. They just dropped it. I mean, the complaint was, we just
wow.
don't go after attorneys. That, you know, we just dropped it. And that, I think, is very, very wrong. Very
that
wrong.
That is extremely wrong. Yeah, and hopefully that's not the norm in these cases, because most of the time, a lot of the time, you know, these cases are valid cases. There are cases that there are fair housing claims that aren't valid. And people do, unfortunately, use fair housing for the wrong purposes and the wrong reasons. But I don't think that HOAs and HOA managers are aware. I mean, I can take a couple of past cases where homeowners were complaining to the association and the board that they were being discriminated against or harassed by neighbor on neighbor. What do you do in that case? Well, there's been a couple of lawsuits, successful lawsuits filed, where these homeowners have gone to the board and they said, look,
yeah.
they're calling me an ethnic name, they're discriminating against this other homeowner, is
right.
discriminating against my children, what are you going to do? Several of them ignored it. They ended up in extremely large settlements. The HOA has an obligation to make sure that, you know, people aren't living in a community where they're being harassed under the protections of fair housing, and that they are, you know, it's kind of something. They'll give you a $50 or $100 fine for a weed sticking out of your driveway, but when a homeowner comes and says, look, my neighbor in the association is calling me ethnic names, they're discriminating against my children, and they don't want to do anything about it. But, hey, we can give you a $50, $100 fine for the weed. You know, it's just, their priorities are just not.
Well,
right,
hold on. Now, this is where I disagree with you, Dave.
Okay, you can.
Okay. You know, the problem is that we've got a bunch of adults living
yeah.
in close proximity or, you know, a mile apart, whatever the situation is. It's not a kindergarten.
Exactly.
It's not a kindergarten, and to have some people responsible for your behavior, your personal behavior, I think is plain ass wrong.
Well,
I mean, the board should not be. If I lived in your association,
mm-hmm.
and I did something stupid, it's not the association's fault. It's my fault. I'm not going to expect you or the board to treat me like a kindergartner and say, "Sure, you can't do that. We're going to slap your hand." You know, there's something totally wrong with this picture, Dave.
I think we did a show on that not too long ago.
This is so.
And we talked about the dumbing down of America and how the HOA is responsible for everybody and everything.
You can't do that. You really and truly cannot do that. You know, there's got to, you've got to be responsible for your own actions. You can't be responsible for what comes out of my mouth, Dave. I mean, that's plain stupid.
And according to Fair Housing, though, they beg to differ.
Well, again, they're treating, all right, so now we're going to being parents and children. And if you're buying into an association because you want to act like a child and be a child and be treated like a child, then that's what you should sell them.
Exactly.
But we're not doing that. We are not doing that. There was a case in Washington where a woman, a black lawyer, lived in a co-op or a condominium a number of years ago, and I don't remember her name and I don't remember the case, but she filed a fair housing complaint because she did go to the board and she did say that she was, you know, there were ethnic slurs, racial slurs, or whatever it was that her neighbor was doing. And I think the board just laughed at her or did something, but anyway, the association, that co-op, was held responsible for that because she had gone to them. But what is the board supposed to do? What is the board supposed to do?
Well, you know, a lot of associations have rules and regulations against harassing your neighbors, and I remember that case that you're speaking of, and I think that was one of the problems. Their governing documents, you know, almost says we're the babysitter. You know, if my neighbor calls me bad names, you're supposed to take care of it, and if you don't, I'm going to go down to fair housing, and I'm going to file a complaint not only against the neighbor, but against the HOA for not stepping in and doing anything. So we go from this, we have the overbearing HOAs who are trying to control our lives, and then we have a federal agency that says, yes, that's what you're supposed to do.
Okay, there's something wrong with that.
There's
I don't know how you feel about it, but personally, I think there's something terribly wrong with that picture.
Well, I think there is, too. If you're being, people are yelling racial slurs, and I think in that case, the neighbor actually threatened to rape the lady. And I think the police, that would be a police matter, not an HOA matter.
Right.
Matter.
I agree.
And, you know, the HOA is, you know, left to deal with this, and if they don't deal with it, well, here we go. We're in for another lawsuit because we failed to do something to protect our community and our neighbors in our community. It's the dumbing down of America. We have to have somebody wipe our noses and wipe our butts and take care of every little problem. I mean, I think it was our last show or the show before that, where we were talking about the lunacy of neighbor on neighbor and who's responsible to control your nutty neighbors. I don't think it's the HOA's responsibility. I really don't. I think that these things need to be, they're police matters if you ask me.
No, I absolutely agree, and I wonder where this is going to end if we just keep going down this road where nobody can do anything anymore.
Right.
Someone's got to take care of everything. And then you put the same people who cannot manage their own lives in charge of everybody else's life, and you wonder what happened and why is residential America up in arms all over the place? Why is everyone getting sick, as Dr. Gary Solomon says? You know, it's an untenable situation.
Mm-hmm. It is. And, you know, if you live in a non-aid HOA neighborhood, what do then? You know, HOAs, you know, they're kind of left to deal with everything, and I don't think they should deal with everything.
No.
I think these issues, you know, they're police matters. Maybe fair housing should start taking neighbor on neighbor complaints, and which I think they do in non HOAs, but you know. Of course, you know, they go after the people with the deepest pocket shoe, and the people with the deepest pockets are the HOAs. They have that insurance.
That's what it comes down to. It's the
that's
insurance.
That's what it comes down to. It's the insurance.
Everything is money, isn't it? It all
everything
comes down to money.
Everything is money.
In America, you're getting dumber by the minute because there's a handful of people who are making a ton of money off your being dumb. So you're either going to keep being dumb and you're either going to keep rolling over and letting this continue, or you're going to stand up and say, stop. Because
exactly.
Think about what you're leaving your kids.
Exactly.
What are you leaving your kids?
A big mess.
It's
at a lot of expense.
It's insane. It's sheer and utter insanity.
Right.
So When, all right, so now who do you contact? You said you wanted the training. Is there anything mandatory in Arizona for board members and HOA employees to take this class? Who puts it up? How do you find out about them? How do you sign up about it? Should there be a state law requiring some kind of training?
Well, I absolutely think that every state should require training for HOAs and board members and employees. I'll speak for the state of Arizona. No, the answer is no. They don't have to have any training. No training whatsoever. And that's one of the big problems. You can go you can just simply Google in fair housing and then put your state after it and put in training. And National Association of Realtors, the State Association of Realtors, a lot of them provide the fair housing training. We just simply send our folks down over by the state capitol, where I think once a month they have at least a course on the basics of fair housing. There's also online training, FHI Online, FHI Online Incorporated, also has a very, very good online program. I think it's about $65, probably the best $65 ever spent, that takes you step by step through the basics of fair housing and what can get you in trouble. I know a lot of association attorneys do fair housing training. I would kind of personally steer away from that myself.
Oh, I agree with you.
Yeah, but you know, most states, if you look under fair housing, you can also contact HUD, and HUD will put you in touch with training in your area, and you can go actually again to HUD online, and they can provide you with information. They have an 800 number you can call. So it's a very important thing. I it should be a requirement. Of course, a lot of things in the HOA world should be required, but they're not.
I think it should be required to ban the damn things, but that's my point. Yeah.
Well, exactly.
That's a requirement.
But we have the ones that we have. There's probably no way to get rid of them now. I wish they would quit building them.
You know what, Dave? You can have an HOA. You just don't need all the governance that goes with it.
Well, that's it, because you're giving up a lot of your constitutional rights. And that's we hear a lot about the constitutional rights that you give up, but what about some of the civil rights that you give up? Well, some of the constitutional rights, there's, you know, the way the laws are written, there's not a damn thing you can do about it. But those civil rights violations, there are something that homeowners can do. And I hope if there's any homeowners who are listening to this have taken something from it and realized that, you know, in some instances there are federal laws that do protect them.
I just read a blog, or something that an attorney had written, and they talk about fair housing laws and how fair housing laws do apply to HOAs.
Mm-hmm.
But they also say the ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act, does not apply to HOAs. And I tend to disagree with that, because the ADA, I mean, you can have all these covenants that are written in stone and run with the land and are adored and idolized and worshipped and all of the other nonsense that goes along with it. And then you have someone who comes in and they're handicapped, and they need a ramp, and the covenants say you've got to have 3 steps going up. They've got to be, ten and three quarters inches
high. Has to be painted a certain color, must have sparkles, slip-resistant tape.
But then along comes something, and, you know, there's some universal things that happen for people who are wheelchair-bound, people who are handicapped, people who just cannot function, and they're covered under ADA, which is the Americans with Disabilities Act. So I'm not sure that they don't apply to HOAs. I disagree with that. I think HOAs have got to accommodate them.
And they do, and that's also one thing that is covered under fair housing is disability.
Handicap.
And an HOA was ordered to pay $65,000 after denying a father from parking an ambulance that he had purchased, on his driveway because that child needed to... That was his form of transportation. So, yeah, fair housing, you know, even though HOAs don't have to conform to ADA, if you really look at it, fair housing does protect folks with disabilities. So, you know, I think it should apply to both. But, you know, then you have to realize there's a lot of associations like ours. We were pre-1991, so this isn't a very handicap-friendly place. For anybody, we don't have ramps, we don't have rails or wheelchair accessibility for people, and we're subterranean. You know, the problem is if you start adding those things in, you know, you might have to turn the whole place into required to build the whole place. So,
yeah, but you're a condominium, right?
Right.
So if you have a single family home. Or I live in a townhouse where I actually fee simple, where I own the land and the sky above it and the minerals below it and all of that wonderful stuff.
Right.
It's not the association that's going to build the ramp if I want it, but the association's going to say, oh, well, it's against our covenants. I mean, my association won't because I think I've seen them and they'll let it go. But it's the kind of thing that associations would typically do. And it's going to be built not with association money. It's not going to have to change anything in the association.
Right.
It's going to be built at my expense for my personal use.
Exactly.
And then they have the right to say, no, you can't do that, which...
Ridiculous.
Really, really ridiculous.
Ridiculous. You know, the associations, they're required... to accommodate reasonable disabilities, and there's some prohibited things in there. If it changes or alters the operation of the association, we'll define that one. I guess that's one for the association to hammer out. But we've been asked for a few reasonable accommodations from homeowners in our association, like constructing an extra step so somebody who has a problem with their legs can easily go up the stairs. Mm-hmm. And those are the little things that if you just tell them no, you probably are going to get slapped with a fair housing violation. And those are easy, reasonable things. And in the fair housing law, it even allows the association to spend some of their money. If it's minor stuff, not constructing big ramps and things like that. That, of course, would have to be at the owner's expense. But, you know, we do have a little leeway to do some minor things that might improve one of our homeowners. And if we can do that, we always, always, always do that. And it's just the little things. And people don't understand, and these boards don't understand, a little step of concrete might not seem like a big deal to you, but for that person who can't get up that one step, it's a lot. It's monumental.
Oh yeah.
And they just don't get it.
Yeah.
They just don't get it. They'll argue and fight over $15 worth of concrete.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what, when you do that, when you build a step, when you accommodate it sort of shows that you're a community and you care for each other and you're working together. And you don't need a mother child relay or a parent-child relationship, you working together as equals.
Right, exactly. But, you know, associations really need to have policies and procedures in place on how they handle requests for reasonable accommodations. And unfortunately, if they sound a little bit too unreasonable, well, that might be the time that you probably should consult with one of the sharks. I mean the attorney. and hopefully get some advice. But, you know, associations also have a lot of resources. They can also call HUD. They can also call Fair Housing. they can talk to them about it if they don't want to talk to their association's legal counsel. And I do believe if you call the other folks, it's free.
Wow.
If you pick up the phone, yeah, if you pick up the phone to the attorneys, it's going to cost you by the minute.
Yeah, it's the clock starts ticking. David, thank you so much. I'm glad your clock's not ticking because I've enjoyed having you on.
Oh, it's been a pleasure as always.
And thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.